He is our all in all, our Lord. He sees to all of our needs. And I'm not sure about you, but I have a need to live forever. I don't want to die. I desire to live forever and ever and ever and ever. And because my God is so good and gracious, and because Jesus was so willing to sacrifice himself, all who follow him receive this incredible gift called eternal life and heaven. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll read verses 2 through 4. We will be looking at various scriptures today, so I'm going to ask, keep your Bibles available to you, and we will make our way through a study on heaven. What kind of place is heaven? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 4. The Apostle Paul speaks under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, now who was this man in Christ? Well, it was Paul himself. And at the risk of sounding a bit arrogant, he stated this in a third person. I know a man. Well, he's speaking of himself. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or out of the body I do not know. You see, God allowed him to see heaven and he didn't know how he got there. I mean, a lot of folks today claim to have gone to heaven and returned. I will not be addressing that issue, because here's what I know. The Apostle Paul actually did. And he says, whether I was in the body or whether I wasn't, I'm not sure, God knows. Such a man was caught up. Let the church say, caught up. Amen. Now, where did he go? He was caught up. Amen. Caught up to the third heaven. Let the church say, third heaven. Amen. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from body, do not know God. Now, again, he repeats himself like saying, I don't know the detail of myself, but all I know is what I experienced. Verse 4, I was caught up in the paradise. Let the church say paradise. And heard inexpressible words. Let the church say inexpressible words, which a man is not permitted to speak. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. We enjoy singing about heaven, do we not? We like the thought of heaven. I mean, after all, it is where we anticipate spending forever after we die and leave this earth. So let me ask you, what do you know about heaven? I mean, if it's where you're going to spend forever, I mean, that's pretty significant. Surely you know a great breadth of biblical truths about heaven. I'm somewhat concerned that people today, followers of Christ, in fact, give little attention to heaven. I think principally it's for two reasons. First of all, they may not know much about heaven. And you will see in this week and the 2 weeks following, because as the Lord wills, I will speak on heaven and teach you biblical truths regarding heaven today and the 2 weeks to come. I'm somewhat concerned that we know far too little about the place we're going to live forever. Second, perhaps we like this world too much. Perhaps we even love this world. And I trust that as we go through this series of lessons on heaven, that we will change our affection from this world of sin and hostility and degradation and loss and grief to a land that is inexpressible. The Bible references heaven over 600 times. I think that speaks to its importance. You know, when I was a child, my uncle and aunt promised my sister and me that we would go to Camden Park, a theme park located just outside of Huntington, West Virginia. Now, as a young boy, the only type of activity similar to Camden Park that I'd experienced was a citywide carnival in a little community that I grew up in, Jackson, Ohio. In fact, we called it the Apple Festival. There were rides, and you would purchase a ticket and have rides and food, very similar to things that you would expect. Very small community. My mother would give us a couple tickets each and say, go and have fun, enjoy the Apple Festival. And I tell you what, as much fun as you can have out of two tickets, I had a great time. I anticipated it every year, the third week of September. It still happens yet today. Oh, the Apple Festival. But then to be promised to go to Camden Park, I anticipated it for days. I was eager for weeks. And then after I experienced it, I mean, you got to ride all the rides that you could ride. It was greater than I'd even imagined. Seriously. Man, that was fun. Why isn't heaven like that? Why can't we anticipate? And why don't we long for this glorious place, this amazing place that God has prepared for us and Jesus has molded and designed for us? Is it because we don't believe that heaven is a real place? Let me assure you, my brothers and sisters, heaven is a real place. And I want to share reasons why that's true. Heaven must be a real place because God is in heaven. You know, we pray the model prayer at times, our Father which art in heaven. Jesus said that God is in heaven. And if the Father is in heaven, heaven must be real. I find it amazing that some people think heaven is an imaginary place. Some believe it's a state of mind or it's a dream or it's a wish. Now, I want to assure you that heaven is just as real of a place as Atlanta, Georgia. You see, God created a place for him to live. And that place is called heaven. Heaven must be real because it is the place where God dwells. Heaven must be a real place since Jesus came from heaven and returned to heaven. Turn to John chapter 16, the Gospel of John chapter 16. You won't find this on the wall, so turn your Bibles there or your electronic devices. Just make sure it doesn't say Facebook across the screen. John chapter 16, verse 28. John 16, verse 28. Now this is Jesus speaking. And this is what he had to say. John 16, verse 28. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. We call that the birth of Jesus, the incarnation, if you will, theologically. And we celebrate this specifically at Christmas time. There was a time when Jesus was with the Father, but then he came and was born on earth. And then Jesus says, I am leaving the world again. And where's he going? And going to the Father. Now, you have to understand this. It's not difficult. Jesus pre-existed before he was born to Mary. You know that. Jesus was the eternal Son of God. Now, when you're born, that's not true of you or me. I did not exist before my birth until my mom and dad conceived me. That's when I became a living soul, a nefesh hayah, as it says in Hebrew. God breathed into my mother's womb and I became a living soul. I did not exist prior to that, but I existed in my mother's womb. And then 9 months later, I was born and I looked pretty much the same as I did then. least I cry about as often. You see, but Jesus was the eternal Son of God. He always existed. He was from heaven. Before he came to earth as a baby, his soul, his being, always was. And where was he? He was in heaven. Now, after Jesus left this world following his death on the cross, 40 days later, he was standing on the Mount of Olives, and there he ascended. Where did he go? He ascended to heaven. He went back to his Father. Jesus came from heaven, and he went back to heaven. Heaven must be a real place, because that's where Jesus came from, and that's where Jesus ascended to. Heaven must be a real place because angels are in heaven. You know, Mark 12:25 is just one of numerous Bible verses that speaks about angels in heaven. Angels in heaven. Angels in heaven. I mean, the scriptures again and again and again give reference to angels and heaven. You see, scripture describes angels being in heaven, coming to earth to do the bidding of God. They may have a role, like a guardian angel perhaps, or some other kind of role that they have, perhaps to protect, as they did Daniel in the lion's den. Or most often they come with a message, like Gabriel did to Joseph and such. So they oftentimes make an announcement, but they leave heaven, they come to earth, and then they go back to heaven, because that's where angels live. In the book of Revelation, we see that angels are just all over and encompass heaven. I mean, there are boatloads of them. There's thousands and thousands of angels and other heavenly beings living in heaven. You see, since angels are real, and angels live somewhere, and that happens to be heaven, heaven must be a real place. Heaven must be a real place since deceased Christians are in heaven. I love Hebrews 12:23. If you wish, turn there. There's an incredible phrase that says this: the general assembly and the church... The general assembly in the church are enrolled in heaven. Now, I've been enrolled in a few places in my life, and I always went where I was enrolled. Now, I know sometimes folks don't, but that's not the concept here. The biblical writer said there is this incredible general assembly, and then there is the church, and they are enrolled in heaven. What does that mean? Well, that means all the Old Testament saints, the believers all the way back from Adam and Noah and Enoch and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Daniel and Nehemiah and Ezra, and so many of them who existed in the Old Testament times. Well, they're in that general assembly in heaven right now. And then there's the church. You see, these are those that have died and have gone on. In fact, we have quite a few loved ones in heaven, do we not? If the Lord wills, next Sunday morning, I'm going to speak about that. So I want you to make sure that you come if you possibly can. We're going to speak about our loved ones being in heaven. Now, let's just focus for a moment upon this incredible general assembly and this church of deceased loved ones who are now in heaven. They were on earth. They left the earth, and they are in a different place, and that different place is heaven. Heaven must be real because they were real, and they now live in heaven. You see, there are additional reasons heaven must be a real place. Your name is recorded in heaven. You're real, aren't you? Do you realize that there is a book in heaven that records your name if you are a follower of Jesus? If you are a devoted, which is the only kind of follower there is, a follower of Jesus Christ, your name is written in a book. Heaven must be real because it has a book with my name. Your inheritance is in heaven. You see, your inheritance is not on this earth. You must listen so carefully. God blesses us on earth. He gives good things to us on earth. He gives us health and property and vehicles and so many nice amenities. But this world cannot contain our inheritance. I mean, the real big stuff. That's what inheritance is, right? I mean, the real big stuff that you never work for. Now, for some of us, it's not all that big. But let me just simply, you got the concept anyway, right? I mean, this wealth that will be given to you, your inheritance is not on earth. Don't live like it is. Stop living like you want all your good stuff from God on earth. The best stuff God has for you will be in heaven. Heaven is a real place because that's where your inheritance happens to be. Not only that, your rewards are laid up in heaven. You know, the Bible speaks often of rewards. Jesus taught so very much about rewards. And he told his disciples, listen, all the stuff that you're doing for me, all the good service and all the endurance and the things that you're putting up with to be followers of me, you are laying up treasures and rewards on earth, from earth to heaven. You see, there are rewards in heaven. And that's when it really counts. Because I want my reward right now. Jesus, I want mine right now. I want that promotion right now. I'm not saying he won't give you some good things now. We call those blessings, but your reward is laid up in heaven. Heaven must be real because that's where your rewards will be given to you. Listen, heaven's a real place. I hope you believe that. I trust you believe it. I trust you're convinced. I hope that it's a conviction. I hope it's just not one of those things that is an imaginary place or figment of some biblical writer's imagination. I trust and I pray and I plead to you to listen to the truth of Scripture over and over and over again. It attests to the reality that heaven is a real place, just like you're seated in a real place here in Fayetteville, Georgia, on a real pew in a real church. This is a real place. So is heaven. You'll say, well, okay, well, if heaven's a real place, and I guess it is. In fact, I agree with you, preacher, it is. Then where is it? Where is heaven? If heaven's real, it's got to be somewhere. Well, what do? When we have questions, we go to Scripture, do we not? And according to Scripture, heaven is up. I'm just telling you. Isn't there some theological term, pastor, some kind of mystical kind of expression? Heaven is up. Now, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written principally in Greek. I think most of you know that, but if not, take note. In the Hebrew ancient mind of Holy Scripture, the Hebrews conceived of a three-tier cosmology. Heaven was up. The earth was where we are here, and down was the grave and hell. All right, now, I think that's understandable. Heaven is always up in the Old Testament. In fact, the Hebrew word for heaven, shamayim, literally means the heights. The heights. Now, when you get to the New Testament, it also has a word for heaven, and it is ouranos. And that word means that which is raised up. In the New Testament, heaven is that which is raised up, and the Hebrew Old Testament heaven is the heights. I think we get the idea. Heaven is up. The earth is this plane in which we live. Hell and the grave is down below. In the Bible, heaven is revealed to be up. Now, there are three heavens in the Bible. This is why oftentimes when you read the Scriptures, either the Old or the New Testament, you'll come across the plural heavens. Heavens, not heaven, though sometimes you'll see heaven. It's sometimes recorded in the singular, heaven, and when it is, it normally refers to the third heaven. But in the Old and New Testament, there's record of there being three heavens. The first heaven is the firmament, or if you will, the sky. Remember, this is what God made. And after he kind of, you know, he separated, you know, the ups from the down, and he made the firmament, he made the sky, right? That's the first heaven. And if you can throw a rock in the air, you can throw a rock to heaven. Even if you can't throw very far, because it just means the first heaven is kind of the air, or if you will, the sky yet again. The second heaven is the place of the stars. Heaven too is above the sky, if you will, above the clouds. It's the place where the heavenly bodies happen to be contained. The sun, the moon, the stars, etc. This is the second heaven. The third heaven is the heaven of heavens. It is paradise. It is the abode of God. It is what we normally think of heaven as being. It is way up, if you will. It is above the firmament, above the sky, if you will, and the stars. There is this glorious place that we know as heaven. Now, let me just remind you, you can't get in a shuttle and say, well, then take me to heaven. If heaven is up, why do not astronauts and why can't folks just arrive to heaven? Well, because you can't get there that way. Because heaven is a real place. It is up, but you can't drive there, fly there, be shot there, or somehow be propelled there. It doesn't work that way. It's a different kind of place, as we will see. So I want to just the kind of make sure that we're tracking together. You see, we have established, and I trust that you're following, that heaven is a real place. It's not imaginary. It's not fictitious. It really is a real place. Second, it is revealed to be up. That's all we know. Where is it? Up. And then, let's get now more specific. What kind of place is heaven then? What's it like? We'll speak more about this next Sunday morning, but I want to give some attention to what kind of place is heaven. Turn to John chapter 14. It is the house of God. That's what heaven is. John chapter 14. Jesus is ready to be crucified. He's meeting with his disciples. He realizes he's going to leave them, and they're going to have a lot of sorrow, because that's what death does. When death comes our way, we have sorrow. By the way, that is a natural gift that God gives us to provide emotional healing. And that bereavement is a God-used instrument to bring emotional healing to us in times of great loss. But let's look at John chapter 14. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." You believe in God, Jesus said. Believe in me. And my Father's house are many mansions, are many rooms, are many dwelling places. And I go and prepare a place for you in my Father's house. Heaven is the house of God. It is a place where God dwells. It's a place where Jesus dwells at the right hand of the Father. I don't know what house or home means to you, but to me, it means a place of security. It means a place of belonging. It means a place of peace. It means a place of comfort. It means a place of acceptance. It means a place of tranquility. It means a place of life, that everything is as it should be. In about 3 weeks, 26 of us will leave the United States and go to Israel. And boy, you know about a place to visit. That's awesome. Our travelers and pilgrims, as we call them, will see Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. And we'll go to the place where it's believed to be a little grotto, where you can actually see the cave where it was believed that Jesus was born. It's awesome. We'll also go to Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. And we'll actually see the remains of the synagogue still there today, where Jesus actually taught, right there in the synagogue. It's awesome. By the way, it is incredible. We'll take a ride on the Sea of Galilee. We'll get on a boat, and man, we'll be going down the Sea of Galilee. That's fun. Man, that is amazing. To float where Jesus floated. I mean, we'll walk where Jesus walked, float where Jesus floated. And our feet will walk where Jesus walked the last mile of his life. The Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem. Man, that's something to see. We'll actually get to stand on some of the actual pavement that Jesus stood on. And there around the temple, we'll actually see and walk on the southern steps, which were still original to Jesus' day, the actual place where Jesus walked. That's why I tell our pilgrims, I will guarantee that you will walk where Jesus walked. I mean, if you want to do what I do, I do this. On there's one like tier of steps all the way across. I do this. I know my foot's hitting where Jesus' feet hit because he went up the temple many times and he didn't skip. You don't skip steps. Listen, this is not about Jerusalem, but I just promise you don't skip steps. They're too big to walk. We're going to step with Jesus' step. I promise you that, you know. I mean, all I'm saying is it's a great place. This will be my fourth time in going. And I love to see folks who come and you get to see it on their face. First time I went, my jaw never closed. Seriously. I mean, my mouth hung wide open the whole time. But you know what about day eight? It's an 8-day trip. Day seven, day eight. You know what I want to do? I want to go home. I want to go home. That's where my wife is. And I want to be there with my wife. By the way, I've got a recliner like some of you men do. We don't call it the recliner, do we? It's the throne. It's the place you take that incredible beverage called sweet tea. And you recline, you pull the lever or you whatever, and you recline. And then you sleep in your own bed. Now, there's no bed like your bed, isn't that right? You say, my bed's lumpy, but ain't no bed like my bed. It lumps just in the right place. I mean, there's no place like home. I mean, you can go to the greatest place on earth, and after a few days, you're ready to come home because there's no place like home. Listen, there's no place like your eternal home. There's no place like heaven, no place on earth, no place in the universe, no place like home. Long for it, desire it. It's a wonderful place of security, of peace, of tranquility, of joy, of glory. You don't want to miss it, and you should be longing for it today. What kind of place is heaven? It's the house or the home of God. And we get to live with God in his great house. What kind of place is heaven? It is the throne room of God. Turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, please turn there. You won't find this on the wall. We sometimes spoon feed you. And we don't even ask you to turn your Bibles when you come to church. And I want us to start working a little bit more on our Bibles. we believe in all that. The Bible is the written word of God. So we need to use that. If you have one of those electronic devices, go ahead and use that too. Revelation chapter 12. If not, if you say, well, I just didn't bring mine, and you make me feel guilty. Don't feel guilty. Just lean over to the person near you. And say, will you share? Okay. Revelation chapter 4. Look, if you will, begin with verse 2. Revelation chapter 4, begin with verse 2. Well, let's start with verse 1. After these things, I here being John the disciple, was exiled on the island of Patmos, where he received this incredible revelation of Jesus. After these things, I look and behold a door standing open in heaven. He saw the pearly gates, call them what you will. He saw the door wide open. And the first voice that I heard, like the sound of a trumpet. By the way, that is a loud sound. Speak speaking to me, said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after these things. So here God is calling John up to heaven to say, come on, I'm going to show you what's going to happen. Now, what is so incredible, the only part we're going to read this morning is the part where he actually walks into heaven. So we're not going to take time to talk about the end times. That's what he actually saw. But what I'm trying to give attention to this morning is that John left this earth. He saw the open door and he put his feet in heaven. Look what it says. Verse 2. Immediately I was in the spirit and behold, a throne was standing in heaven. Stop for a moment. What was the first thing John saw when he went to heaven? The throne of God, the throne of heaven. Now, some of us think the first thing we're going to see is our loved ones. Now listen, your loved one is important to you and important to Jesus, important to God and important to me. Let's just establish that. Please don't be offended. Your loved one who's in heaven is very, 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 very important, but he or she's not the center. There is a center to heaven, and that is the throne and the one who is seated on the throne. You see, that's why the first thing John saw was this incredible, glorious throne and the glorious God who sat on the throne. He said, I saw a throne standing in heaven and one sitting on the throne. Who sits on the throne, church? Of course, it's God. Oh, you want to know what God was like? All right, read verse 3. And he who was sitting on the throne was like a jasper stone. A jasper stone was a clear stone. The closest jewel that we have today that would describe it would be a diamond. It was diamond-like. Here he sees God in this incredible glory, radiance, and immediately fixed his eyes upon the one seated on the throne, and he was like jasper, this incredible diamond-like shining one. And verse 3, and a sardius in appearance. Sardius was a deep ruby red. God is pictured by color here as being jasper, or this brilliant, shining, clear color, also with deep red color. Now, continue to read. By the way, he does the same thing about his form. We want to know what his form is. How tall was God? We want to know his, what, you make him a robe? Or what do you want to know the measurements of God? John says, listen, here's what I saw. It was so brilliant. It just took him back. He couldn't describe it, so he uses stones, gems, jewels, if you will, to approximate the glory. And verse 3, and he who was sitting was like jasper stone. God was the same color as the throne. Jasper, this clear, incredible, beautiful stone, sardius in appearance. And now we get to the rainbow. Verse 3, and there was a rainbow around the throne like emerald in appearance. This incredible dark green color. This rainbow of dark green just enveloped and surrounded the throne of God. You see, what does green mean? Well, we know that from spring. Green means life, doesn't it? It's the symbol. It's the color of life. So here we see this incredible, glorious God who's like jasper, clear, this shining, radiant one who also has this deep, ruby-like appearance. He's seated on a throne, and this throne is glorious just as God is glorious, with this emerald, deep green rainbow just surrounding, enveloping the throne. You see, what a glorious place. What an incredible, glorious place. John saw the throne room of God. Because that's what heaven is. Heaven is the throne room of God. It's the place where God is seated. It is a place where God dwells. All the activity of heaven, by the way, as you study the book of Revelation, you will see that all the attention is throne central. It is focused on the throne because God is the center. And this incredible, glorious, brilliant God shining and radiating forth, and the throne just screaming with life, just captures the attention of John. Oh, how glorious it was. You see, what kind of place is heaven? Well, heaven is the house of God. Heaven is also the throne room of God. You see, it's a place where God lives. It's a place where God rules. It's a place where God reigns. Everything that's good about God, which everything about God is good, is found in splendid, incredible form. Oh, heaven's a glorious place. What kind of place is heaven? It is a paradise. It is a paradise. Luke chapter 23:43, Jesus was hanging on the cross. He was speaking to one of the thieves to his side. And what did Jesus say to the thief? Today you will be with me in paradise. Well, why is that? Well, that's heaven. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, I read it a moment ago. He said, I was taken to the third heaven. The third heaven is paradise. It's the throne room of God, the house of God. It is the place where God dwells. It is the heaven of heavens. It is that which is above the firmament, and that which is above the stars. Heaven is this incredible, glorious place. It is paradise. The ancients understood paradise as a garden or an enclosed park. Now think about that. A garden or an enclosed park. Think about the Garden of Eden. You're familiar with that in Genesis chapter 1, right? The Garden of Eden. Here's Adam and Eve. They live in the Garden of Eden. It was a closed place. It was a specific location. And in this garden, I mean, there were trees of every kind. It had good food. Food was abundant. It was a perfect place. It was life without any pain, without any discouragement, without any loss. I mean, this paradise called the Garden of Eden, man, that would be an awesome place to live. You see, that's what heaven's like. It's not the Garden of Eden, but it's like that. Heaven is also equated in the New Testament with New Jerusalem. You find this in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation 21 and 22 as well. Heaven is associated with, it is equated with New Jerusalem. So if we want to know what heaven is like, we just need to give a little attention to Revelation 21 and we'll better learn what heaven is like. You see, heaven is not New Jerusalem, but heaven is like New Jerusalem. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means God is with believers forever and ever and ever. That means there's no death, there's no mourning, there's no crying, there's no pain, because God is there and there is health and fullness and abundance and joy and bliss. It is a glorious place. It is like New Jerusalem. The place is perfect in every sense of the word. You see, heaven is a glorious place because New Jerusalem is a glorious place. It's brilliant like precious jewels. The stones, it says in Revelation chapter 21, the stones are clear like crisper. Like crystal, excuse me. Here it uses the word or the stone or the gem, jasper. Oh, it's glorious, precious. I mean, the city is made out of glorious material. It is enclosed. It has walls. It has gates. In fact, Revelation 21 tells us the dimensions of New Jerusalem. It is 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles high. It's a cube. Now, in fact, if you conceive it like this. If you go from Maine to Florida, north to south, go from the Atlantic Ocean to Denver, Colorado, and then look up 792,000 feet. Now, this is what Revelation says the dimensions of New Jerusalem is. By the way, it says these are the measurements of heaven and also the measurements of earth. He is being very literal here, and I believe it to be true. Can you imagine that? I mean, that is a wide, large expanse of space. Wow. It's pure gold. but not like the gold you wear around your neck or the you wear in your finger, 14 carat or 10 carat or whatever. No, this is pure gold that is clear. Clear gold. It's nothing that we have here. By the way, there is no church in heaven. You know why? Because there's no need for redemption. Everyone's redeemed. There's no mission. There's no evangelism. There's no need for these kind of things. The Bible says there's no lights, no sun, no lamps, because the glory of God lights up the place. In the middle runs a river of life. And the water, it's as clear as crystal. And it comes out of the throne of God. Not out of the mountain, but out of the throne of God. This water of life. And on both sides of the river are trees. And these trees are called the trees of life. And this foliage, the leaves are for the healing of the nations, because there is no sickness, no need for medicine. There's no illness because God cares for us. What a glorious place. You see, it's like New Jerusalem. It's kind of like paradise. It's this real, literal place that is perfect in every sense of one's imagination. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, when he was taken to heaven, it was inexpressible. He didn't even try to describe it. In fact, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Paul, I said, Paul, come on, throw us a bone. Why didn't you at least try? At least John tried. So he's using precious jewels like jasper and emerald and various things. Paul, you didn't even try. You just simply said, it's just inexpressible. Now that's the kind of place I want to be. That's the kind of place I want to be forever. And as much as I love my home on earth, as much as I love life on earth, as much as I enjoy fellowship on earth, there is no place like heaven. By the way, I want to remind you as I close that Jesus died on the cross. He bled and suffered so that your sins could be forgiven. So that you could get to heaven. He didn't need to die on the cross to get himself to heaven. He was sinless. He was going to go back to heaven. That's where he was from. He was going to go back to heaven himself. He died on the cross so that you could go to heaven. He paid a price with suffering and agony on the cross. He paid your price. He died on the cross so that you wouldn't have to die on a cross for your own sins. So that you can go to heaven. Don't you want to go to heaven? Don't just wish. Say, oh, yeah, I kind of wish I'd go to heaven. No, you have to be prepared. Listen, when you go to Camden Park, I'm telling you, you get a ticket. My uncle gave me my ticket. I looked at that ticket to Camden Park. And I didn't know what I was going to be like over there. Went through the gates. But I imagined it for weeks. Man, I just couldn't wait to go through that little carousel and have my ticket punched. And a little old bracelet put around my hand. And I could ride all the rides and have all the fun. Enjoy all the amenities of Camden Park. I still remember. I can tell you specific details if you're interested. Heaven. You see, you've got to be right. You've got to be prepared. It's a real place. You see, heaven is up. We're living on earth now, and there is a place down. Now, where do you want to live forever? You see, that's why heaven is so important. Just not an idea that we preach at church, or an idea some biblical writer thought he'd conjure up. It's real, but you really have to be prepared. As real as heaven is, you really have to be prepared. And once you're prepared, man, you got to start loving it and liking it, desiring it, and being motivated by it and living for it. Because there's no home like heaven. We're going to have a hymn that we call our invitation hymn, because we invite you to respond to what God has said to you. Maybe here this morning you're not ready to go to heaven. You say, I want to go to heaven, I'm not ready to go to heaven. Listen, you don't know when your time is up. And you better be ready. Turn away from your sin and follow Jesus and give your life to him. He must be your Lord. Give it all up and follow him. It's called repentance. Turn around, give him your life. You got to believe in him. Trust him with your life. Not just say, okay, I believe. Yeah, I believe. No, you got to trust him and follow him and give your life to him and allow him to be your Lord. Then you got to follow him in baptism, just like we witnessed this morning. Hurry. If God is speaking, maybe the Lord's leading you to unite with our church family, be a part of a church family. You need it, and so do I. It's God's provision for us to grow and learn and work together. You come. Maybe you just need to rededicate your life. Say, I've been a little off track and my focus has been a little bit off. Then do that. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, may your will be done in every life today. Every life. May whatever you desire to be done in our lives individually would be done. Because we believe your word. We believe heaven is a real place. And it's a glorious place that Jesus has prepared, that God himself has prepared, this great, incredible paradise and throne room of God, this house of God. May we be prepared today. In Christ we ask, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the preaching ministry at Liberty Baptist Church. We trust the Lord will show his mercy and grace to you. At Liberty, we believe everyone counts. Our motto is, one church, all people. If there is a need in your life that we can meet, please contact us soon. Perhaps you need prayer for a personal matter. We'll be glad to pray for you. Maybe you need spiritual counsel. We have trained staff to help you. Perhaps you're looking for a friendly church that bases its teaching and practice on the Bible. Then consider us your home church. You can contact us by phone at 770-461-5644. You may wish to learn more about the ministry of Liberty Baptist Church from our website. It is www.lbcfayette.org. May God greatly bless you, and thanks again for your interest in the life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ.